Did you know that in 2022 in the U.S. alone, there were 748 hazmat incidents that literally could have been prevented with better training?
Training with us gives your members the tens or even hundreds of thousands of hours of experience that we have, making your people better, uniquely made for your people using the best equipment and techniques out there.
In just three steps, we can transform your team. One, schedule a call. Two, customize the training plan. And three, begin the best in-class training.
So why risk choosing instructors that only have theoretical knowledge? Don't settle your team's competences at stake.
Secure your spot now. Our training slots are for the upcoming quarter or almost booked. Act now to ensure your team isn't left behind.
Train differently. Head to thehazmatguys.com/hire us and get your appointment and begin your transformation today. I like that so much better than the other one we were doing. It's so much sweeter.
Smoother. It's like a good bourbon, just smooth.
Yeah. You know, we have the after action report for June. It's not firm yet. I don't want to give you a name yet. I have two people in the hopper. I don't want to give it out, but they're both of them are pretty good doozies. So yes, that will be happening on June 5th.
Yes.
And last 1930.
And like my last date, we were ghosted on tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was weird.
Anyway. We'll make up for it. Sorry about that, guys.
Yeah. But this is, again, as always, be long form. It's going to be comments on. So interact, check out what's going on, and learn from the OGs themselves. Yeah, I'm excited to say that Barry Destroyer 3 is being set up.
Yes. So, okay, we have to kind of rephrase because we were calling Battery Destroyer 3 what will now be Battery Destroyer 4.
Oh, yeah.
So, So Battery 3, we were saying, was in September. We had a new event happen in between now and September, and we will be providing a lot more information on that one when the time comes. Excited for this one because we are really going to be able to test out, hopefully, a couple of different products, some that we can push on some claims for some different people that are out there. That's kind of what we're hoping to do. We're hoping to we're not looking to prove anybody wrong or anybody right. We just want to see what the product can actually do in real time.
Love it. And a lot of conferences come up next week. We're in Cold Zone, Oklahoma. That's not all this next week. It's Cold Zone is next week. Oklahoma, South Carolina, Baltimore, Virginia. And I know there's one or two more that are in the hopper. Oh, continuing challenge. That one was just added.
Yeah, that one we've been working on over the week. Monday, yeah, actually.
So. Yeah.
It's good.
Anyway, all right. Busy.
So what are we talking about this week? This probably will end up being a slightly short episode. It was something that kind of interesting happened. I haven't told much about it to Bob so that he could get his thought process live in real time. And we hate it when we do that, but we love it at the same time. So the product will remain nameless, as well as the person who reached out to me will remain nameless. And this also is going to play a little bit off last week where we were talking about how words matter. So if I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to tie that in, let's do that right now. And let's talk a little bit about non-toxic, right? Let's have a chat about when something is non-toxic. And in order for something to be not toxic, it has to not be poisonous to us, right? It has to not hurt us. And we can think of lots of things as non-toxic, right? We think of water as non-toxic, right? Would you venture to say that water is non-toxic?
Yeah, I would say, well, the devil's in the dose.
Absolutely. The devil's in the details, right? But for the most part, if I were to hand you a bottle of water, you'd be fine drinking the bottle of water.
Yes.
What if I put that bottle of water into your lungs?
That would not be good.
That would not be good, right? Okay, so non-toxic. We have to be very, and I preface this again, I'm not calling anybody out on anything, but there is some companies that are out there that are pushing this idea of dry powder decon coming from like a fire extinguisher. where you can literally just spray everything down. And I was having a conversation with a gentleman about this, and he had just seen this product being demonstrated in a military exercise that was specifically designed for things like this. And so much so that his actual meter that they brought ended up going through this decon process. And he was not happy, to say the least. So I got a very angry phone call, and it was basically like he was calm and he's like, what do you think about XYZ? So we had a very long conversation. I figured I would bring it on air because it brings up a couple of points. It brings up a couple of thoughts. And Bob, I want to know your thought process as now hearing this for the first time, because I don't believe that I shared this phone call with you a couple of weeks ago when it happened. I'm going to give a quick example of something that we would generally consider to be non-toxic. Let's go with like titanium dioxide. Titanium dioxide is not really toxic. You can put it on your skin and it's not toxic. In fact, lifeguards wear it on their nose. You ever see those idiots walking around the beach with the white nose? That is titanium dioxide. However, titanium dioxide should be handled as a carcinogen when it is exposed to the eyes, nose, and throat. Titanium dioxide is an irritant to the lungs. Repeated exposure may cause bronchitis, develop coughing, phlegm, and shortness of breath. So
interesting.
Here we have a substance that's labeled non-toxic, and yet it is toxic under the right conditions. Well, this product labels itself as non-toxic. And one of the things that this gentleman observed was that because it was labeled non-toxic and they were there pushing it as non-toxic, members were going through decon with no respiratory protection on. And they're literally getting sprayed with this material from head to toe, breathing it in. And they're doing so with the manufacturer there and them being told it was non-toxic. So they're like, whatever, it doesn't matter. It's non-toxic. So just in general, what would your thoughts be on a decon system that sprays out of a fire extinguisher that is a dry white powder?
I haven't prepared for this, but I will say that I've been at usually like the food on the stove kind of thing. When you come into a person's apartment, they have that taste of burnt aluminum.
That's delicious.
Right. And sometimes they use or discharge a ABC extinguisher. And I know how much, even in the limited amounts of breathing that in, how irritating that was to my throat. Like I would go home and it would be days before I would get that aluminum taste out of the back of your throat.
Right. And just to be clear, like, let's put into context when you were getting on scene, somebody had a fire, they put it out with an extinguisher.
Right.
We're there 3 to 6 minutes, depending on how far you got to walk from the rig.
Right.
Things are settling. Okay. So, okay, go.
Right. So like now you're saying that we're throwing a powder. And again, I don't know how small or fine or particulate wise, but I know that, you know, when it goes into your, it gets pulled very efficiently into your lungs. And the smaller the pieces, the smaller pieces, the deeper it goes. Like, you know, we're talking about like the the raviolis.
Oh, I love raviolis.
So no, good. Anyway, you know, but at a certain point, like, it's going to cause irritation. It's going to cause mucosa, the mucous membranes, to go crazy. I would say you're probably going to get a fever because it's like, and you know, it's something that's on the inside of your body. Again, I'm not acting as a doctor. I don't play one on TV, but I'm saying I'm going to guess it's whether it's toxic or non-toxic or air quotes toxic. I know that the better the material it is for you to breathe in, the harder it is to breathe in, and the worse it is, the easier it is to breathe in. Like diesel soot, very easy to breathe that smoke.
Gets deep in your lungs.
And like, yeah, hay and wood is relatively better for you to breathe in, but it's really hard on everything. So I guess long story short is I think it would be a hard argument to say, oh, it's totally breathable. And say the claim that it's non-toxic.
I think it's totally breathable. It's totally not breathable. And I agree with you. I think this is, unfortunately, they're doing the community a great disservice by like insinuating one thing, but not really correcting the other. And I know that is happening in our community with some manufacturers, right? Some manufacturers are, maybe they're not claiming that you can breathe it in, but they're certainly not saying don't breathe it in. Okay, now let's switch points of view as far as using a dry decon as a technician or even a chief. Would it be something that you might go to as a possibility?
If this dry product, decon, a dry powder decon,
it claims, and I always get nervous when I hear all, it claims to neutralize everything, acids, bases, chemical warfare agents, the whole nine yards.
That's pretty lofty.
It's pretty lofty.
I'm not familiar with this product.
You actually are, because we had it on the rig at one point.
Okay. Are they rebranding an oldie and saying, you know, this dihydrogen monoxide kind of thing?
No, I think they're just making a push. Like now we're going to try to get ourselves back out there again.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. So I know we have had the material on it, and the ingredients are relatively simple. It's like titanium dioxide and magnesium. Maybe it's magnesium dioxide. I can't remember the exact magnesium compound, but they're very simple compounds. And for the life of me, I don't know what the mechanism is that creates an acid and base titration at the same time without being a buffer and being something that you can inhale and not being toxic. But from my point of view, okay, so I sent you some pictures.
Yes, I see them.
There is a dirty picture. Describe what you see in the dirty picture.
Okay.
You don't have to describe the meter. Don't give the meter company away.
I will say it's in the Pelican case or the case. Can't tell if it's a Pelican case or not. And I see a very dusty, very expensive meter of high quality and it's current. It's a current meter.
Current, very current. Yep.
It is totally white.
Totally like, white.
It's almost like I can't see the underlying color, which is a bold color in the first place. So
okay.
It is pretty freaking white.
So you're seeing that picture after that meter went through a dry powder decon and it was wiped down initially with a towel. How many hours do you think it took our friend to fully go from picture A to the second picture that you have, which is a completely clean after it was thoroughly cleaned picture? That wasn't a before. That was an after he deconned it.
Oh, so he deconned it from the decon.
He deconned it from the decon. That's the point that I want to get to.
Okay. I'm going to totally guess in maybe 10 minutes.
4 hours.
Okay. The money saved, but lost in man hours.
4 hours. So I got a second phone call from him after it was deconned, still being really upset. And he was like, well, I can attest to the fact that it doesn't harm electronics because it's in all of my electronics. It's an extraordinarily fine powder that got into all the little nooks and crannies of this device. And it took him 4 hours to decon this tool, to get all of the powder out of this tool and clean it to the point that it was usable again.
Yeah, because this has like rubber bumpers or protection of the corners and stuff. Yeah. So that's, you'd have to remove. Oh, boy.
Yeah, the cracks, the nooks, the crannies, the little gap between like the screen and the rubber, the buttons, the whole nine yards. And he made a very interesting observation. He goes, you know, this stuff went everywhere. It went everywhere. How do you have a decon in which you then have to decon? Like, what, from a first responder point of view, like, let's say we use this stuff at an incident. Are we going to seriously leave white powder all over the place after decon, or are we going to have to turn around and clean the whole thing up?
If you pulled, again, I don't, yeah, we can't show the photos. So, like, it's not a thing. But if a company was to be like, well, it's designed to be staying on there, and I'd be like, okay, I'll give you that. And then I pull up on a scene and I open my box up. The first thing other technicians or specialists would look at and be like, what kind of a shit show is this company that they got white powder? I mean, like, couldn't you, how do you know that that's not fentanyl or anthrax or baby powder or whatever? I don't know, man.
I don't know. And he described the scene as just this white, like, wonderland of just people now running around covered in white powder because they had sprayed it all over themselves during this drill incident because they were deconning themselves. They didn't have any respiratory protection on because they were told it was non-toxic. He said it was literally all over the place, all over his gear, all over the meter that he had brought, all over other, you know, R&D companies that were there with their stuff. It was literally everywhere. He said it was a massive, massive mess.
I just heard very recently, since we're on a topic of powders, and I think this is kind of in the similar vein, that there is a company out there that is saying that their powder will handle all the gases in a lithium ion battery incident. And it will bind to all the gases that are toxic and drop them right to the floor. Like, wow. Physically drop them to the floor. And I'm not going to say the company, I'm not going to say the product, because I don't know enough about it yet. But I was told this, and they said it sounds like it's something like, you know, the drywall stuff, the anti-dust drywall, where it actually, when you sand the wall, it kind of like makes a static charge on the particulate, mm-hmm. and those static charge snap together like magnets, and because the clump gets heavier, it just falls like a lead weight to the floor.
Right.
That makes sense. I don't understand how the allegation is being made on this one too. So I don't know. The dry decon is, it sounds good.
In theory, it sounds good, but in practice, I think I'm sure there's a place for it, right? Like we always say, we never want to turn around and poo-poo something because it can't do one thing. Maybe it does another thing really great. But I would be very cautious if you're being approached by anybody who's saying that dry decon spraying out of an extinguisher is going to be the way to go. I would put it to test in one of your simulations, not you as in your Bob, but like anybody who's listening, I would say, okay, we're going to do a simulated exercise. We're going to do an exercise. Let's do a decon with your product afterwards. Do the decon and see what kind of mess you have to clean up, you know, but before you trust, because, you know, there's a big difference between a powder decon and then a wet decon. Let's take the Dahlgren, for example, right? That is a very focused, small spray in a very localized spot. It is not coming from an extinguisher blowing all over the place. And it evaporates and it dissipates, and there's not a whole lot left behind. I can't imagine leaving a scene in which there is just extinguishers full of white powder all over the place. And guys are breathing it in. It's blowing in the wind. I mean, titanium dioxide, right? Repeated exposures. If you're using this as your primary form of decon and you're being exposed to it a lot, this is potentially something that you need to worry about.
I'm even thinking like, okay, I'm taking something that in itself is a non-toxic. Again, I'm giving the scare quotes around it. But then I'm using it because I need to decon something off myself that is toxic. Right. So now I've moved that toxic thing into the non-toxic thing and given it wheels. Right. I've made it transport better so it can kill me faster. Like, I don't know. I don't know either. I need to look into this because this is something I'm not. First glance, first shot, the math isn't making sense. And I'm hoping somebody, if you're out there listening, I'm hoping you can feed me a little information. I will do my own research, but I've never seen this used in an emergency format. I will say that I like tools to be put in a toolbox. I appreciate that there isn't one tool for all situations.
Right.
And anybody out there that is telling you, no, our tool fixes everything.
Does everything.
They are selling you something. They're a con artist. You should have a couple of tools, but
if it puts out fire and it cures cancer, it's probably not. Yeah.
I don't know. On initial submission, I'm going to say this is not passing my smell test, but I can be wrong.
Yeah, we will. We promise you we will do more research. We'll come back with the name of the company when we feel like we have sufficient evidence, but sufficient information to be able to talk about it a little more openly. If you want to look up titanium dioxide a little, by all means.